life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain.
You are listening to Dynamite in the Brain with Brian Smith and Anthony Askew. On today's show, we will address some of our anime blind spots. So, on our famous anime podcast, we've inducted a number of shows that we've not actually seen. So, on today's podcast, we are bringing back Just Enough to Bluff as we watch the first episodes of some of these anime blind spots for us. So, we've got six shows. I think, now, one of these is a cheat, because me and Anthony have actually watched it. We just have never managed to podcast about it.
Well, I was looking at when we should have done that, and it was back in 2015.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Potentially the end of 2014, depending on when I last updated this document, but that's crazy. So I feel like I hadn't seen it. But things did flood back.
Yeah. Of all the others, I would say it's three of them I've not seen anything. I hadn't seen anything of before. But it was all for you, Anthony.
All new, all fresh.
All fresh. And what could be fresher?
I feel wiser. I feel wise now.
What could be fresher than 1968? Star of the Giants. Episode 1, Aim for the Star of Glory, which originally aired on the 30th of March, 1968. I now no longer feel like a fraud for having that Star of the Giants t-shirt I've had for about a decade now.
Is it going to be coming back out of the cupboard now that you're a fan?
Yeah, probably. I could wear it with more guts and gusto.
In case somebody asks you a question about
yes.
it.
Yes. That's only ever happened once. and that was a Japanese wrestler, Seema from Dragon Gate, was surprised to see me wander in a St. Ives in Cambridgeshire. Like, what on earth? Why on earth somebody was wearing a Star of the Giants t-shirt there? So, yeah, Aim for the Star of Glory. So this is based on the manga by Ikki Kajiwara and Nobu Kawasaki. Kajiwara we know from Tiger Mask and Tomorrow's Joe. He wrote those as well. And this episode involves the Hoshi family. The dad, Itetsu Hoshi, and his son, Hiyuma Hoshi, and to a lesser extent, Akiko Hoshi. And the dad, we learn, he was supposed to be the great third baseman of his generation in baseball, but he injured his arm. This is midway through the episode, we learn all this. During World War
II.
In the war. But yeah. That is what stopped him. Because I knew that bit, and I thought, oh, that's what stopped him. No. Mm-hmm. What stopped him is he carried on playing, and in order to compensate for the injured arm, he developed this particular throw, which would look as if he was about to hit the runner with the ball.
Mm-hmm. But they would stop.
They would stop, slow down, not get to third base. And but it wouldn't actually hit them. And so his teammate, Kawakami, said, well, you're a genius for inventing that ball, but, you know, eventually they're going to see through it. Mm-hmm. And then Itetsu's like, well, that just means I'll have to hit them with the ball a few times so they don't know whether it's really going to hit them or not. And Kawakami, how could you? You must leave baseball at once. You're bringing shame. And so he does. And so he's basically... taught his son everything he knows about baseball. He basically invested 5 years of his life training his son up to be the baseball player he could never be. But his son wants
he's
to use
forced his own dreams on his son. He never has, do
yes.
that.
Also appears to have completely destroyed them financially as well.
Because
of his drinking, and they live in a rundown area, but their place seems more rundown than everywhere else.
Well, I think that's because of all their fighting, because they yes. break a lot of their own windows and pull their own shit down and break pots and whatnot.
yes, but the son claims he hates baseball. He hates this guy who's being proclaimed as the great third baseman. And so he goes off to his signing.
Is it Nagashima, who's this new hot
yes.
star that
yeah.
kids at school are talking about?
He's being signed to the Giants, and so he shows up at the televised induction and hurls this ball at him.
Devil, is it the devil's pitch? Because I know there's like a Japanese that, yeah. name for it, but I don't know how to pronounce that.
But he sees through it.
It's so good.
And so, yeah, Kawakami follows this kid home thinking, it's got to be Hoshi's kid. And he sees him there sitting in and throwing this ball through a ball-sized hole in the wall of their house into a ball-sized hole in a tree, which it bounces back perfectly every single time. And so he finds a baseball bat-sized branch and whacks it through this time so the kid can't catch it. And, his dad's like, what are you doing?
The father's passed out on the floor at this point because he's been drinking. But he leaps up and catches it, ready to throw it back. Like an instinctual response. Like
muscle memory has kicked in.
Yeah.
As they go and chase outside to find out who's thrown it through, and they recognise Kawakami from the back. And then they all stand, the family gather and point at the stars.
And they look really misproportioned to the house. I was like, that house couldn't hold those three people.
Yeah, there's lots
it is a small house, but...
It is. And there's lots of weird proportions and weird character stuff going on. But there is also some really good animation in terms of...
The best class fight.
Yeah, layouts as well. It's like they do superimposing and the bit when Kawakami's running to the house and he's remembering Itetsu's career and we get all the war footage behind him, live action. And then all of a sudden a human hand appears and rips a calendar page off. I was like, what?
Yeah, it's so well done, though.
It is, yeah.
It's not too obtrusive, like intrusive. I think it definitely adds.
Yeah, because what I knew going into it was the sports melodrama. There's lots of melodrama both in the music and sort of the posing of people, and also the huge eyebrows a lot of the characters have.
Awesome, but juicy eyebrows.
But yeah, it really took me by surprise how visually inventive it was as well. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh yeah, now I see why they're stuck in people's heads so much. And unfortunately, this is the only episode available translated English.
Oh, really?
And subs, yeah.
Ah, oh, that's a darn shame.
I know, because
that's a darn shame.
I watched this, the last thing going before bed one night, and then I was still thinking about it when I woke up in the morning. I couldn't get it out of my head.
It is something special. I've got to agree. I mean... Even the kid, first thing I picked up on was he's got like the Naruto whisker marks on his cheeks. And I'm sure other things have done that, but this is pretty early.
It is, yeah.
So I don't know.
And this feels different to, the earlier stuff we watched, like Gigantor and Astro Boy. Obviously, it's in colour. That's one big thing. But it's got different energy to it as well. And it's got the same thing that Tiger Mask had, where when they don't have to draw characters from the comic, it feels like, let's just make these easier to draw. and some of the fan subs just basically gave up on the references. They're like, it's like, I assume this guy's doing an impression of somebody who would have been known at the time, but we don't know who it is.
Oh, it's a damn shame. One episode
is all I could find. But I was pleased to see that, because before when I've looked, there's been nothing.
Oh, right. Okay.
So, I was like, let's see if anyone's done Star of the Giants. And there was one there. So I unfortunately had zero seeds on the torrent, so I had to dredge it up from elsewhere.
Though, even without subs, I think you could definitely follow it.
I think some of the character interactions later on would be... Because, I've seen the scene with the Christmas thing where he holds a party and no one comes. It's not Christmas's, but is it Christmas or a birthday? I can't remember. I know it's Christmas in Sergeant Frog. I've seen the reference in Sergeant Frog. I'm not sure I'm picking up all on the nuances of why people weren't showing up to his party.
Mm. Well, the main characters, the boys.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, he's a bit of a dick.
I mean, everybody
to everyone in school.
Yes, he is.
Because baseball's huge, and
his dad's a dick as well.
Oh, his dad's dreadful. Because even Kawakami grabs Hayuma's hand, and he's like, the calluses on his hands. He looks like he's been playing baseball for 20 years. And he's just been, poor boy, forced into baseball. Then the preview of the next episode, he's got some weird contraption on.
Yeah, that's the thing I've got on my T-shirt. That's another scene you see parodied a lot in places. Mm-hmm.
What does the contraption do?
It sort of restricts his movement, so he's got to force his muscles, build his strong muscles up. Yeah.
Right. Because his poor sister, he's even awful to his sister. Because his father's an alcoholic, and he's like, oh, well, you should do more to... You should have stopped him, and... it's quite sad. And I don't know how far it goes, but I presume he makes it as a bit of a hit. And hopefully they get rich. Hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a long run, and then it came back again for a revival series later on. 182 episodes of this series. One, two, three, four films. And then it came back in 1977 for 52 more episodes.
Jeez. I say I'm sad there's only one done, but I would never watch that many episodes.
No, and again in 79 for another 23. And then another movie in 1982.
Might be due for another one.
He hasn't come back quite as many times as Kitaro.
Nah.
I think people just write new baseball manga and then they get adapted instead.
Yeah, might as well, I suppose.
Yeah, it's definitely different. We watched Major, didn't we? Which is another kid.
Yeah,
and a
that's
dad,
a, but yeah.
Not quite as harrowing. Not quite as sort of working class as this is.
I mean, they've all got patches on their knees, you know, like which they've added themselves, stitched on. And presumably the father just wastes all of his money that he ever had just on booze and perhaps new baseballs for him to throw at his son.
Presumably he does not have a job. He's just, his job is training his son to live out his dreams.
Good moral story there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know whether the dad ever... Whether the payoff is that the dad was right to do this, but it may well be. But I get the feeling there'll be... I assume there'll be some sort of tension between him and Kawakami coming back into his life.
Yeah, well, see, my initial impression of the other dude, I thought, oh, he must have done something wrong to force him out of the industry or whatever, but... He didn't really.
No, he just told
him. Nobody's done anything bad as such.
Yeah, he just told him to do the right thing. He says,
yeah.
You can't use that move. If that's the only way you can play baseball, you shouldn't be playing baseball.
So I don't feel that there's any villain, and I certainly don't feel sorry for that Nagashima guy. Like, he just happens to be a good player and he's getting praise. But nope. Yuma Hitchin.
Rightio. Next up, we've got Dr. Slump. This is the thing we've watched apparently 3 years ago at this point.
Finally.
From 1981, episode 1, Arale's Birth and Hey Friends. This originally aired on April the 8th, 1981. Based on the manga by Akira Toriyama. Here, of course, he is represented by a bird. He's not his... little gas mask faced.
I like the bird.
Self-portrait. So, this is great. Also, watching it, though, it made me think, oh, I can see why he moved on to Dragon Ball, because Dragon Ball isn't filled with so much background information as this show is. And presumably the comic was as well. Because there's loads of like little, they keep on. There's like a rear. There's lots of Ultraman stuff in this. Mm-hmm. We get like a. There's lots of these little Ultramans gripping onto things, which were like a fad toy at the time. Because I know I had not an Ultraman one, but
okay. I know what the kind of I know like you put one on your pencil.
Yes, there'd be like a clip.
Yeah,
I think they're back. by the way, because I saw there's something called Fingerlings.
Fingerlings?
Yeah, I assume they do something similar. They're not exactly the same. They're probably safer than the ones which just appear to be like a bulldog clip with plush toys on, surrounding it.
Yeah, these look a lot more kid-friendly. They're a lot like rounder.
Yeah.
They're weird looking, but I can see why. I always liked the things I had that could do that kind of thing, so. Yeah.
So, in this episode, we meet Senbei Norimaki as he's inventing his latest invention, an android, who he eventually names Arale, and declares that he's his sister. Because he's only 28, he doesn't want to think that he's got a child already. And so, yeah, the first half of it is him inventing this child. And the second half is sending this child off to school.
Oh. It's very sweet. I have a lot of warm. And it's so funny as well.
It's very
genuinely
funny, yes.
Even on a second watch, the bits that are meant to be funny the first time, they're still funny.
Yes.
Don't weaken in terms of quality of the joke.
I think it helps the performances and the animation. Beyond just the structure of the joke itself. Also, one of the big parts in these first two parts is Senbei not wanting anyone to cotton on that Arale is an android. And yet there are so many other weird things in Penguin Village.
Frankenstein child and... a talking pig.
Yeah. No one seems to take on any of the weird things that Arale's doing as being particularly weird. Enough to make them question that she's Senbei's sister.
Though the headmaster does.
Yes,
because he puts together about his parents that they should have been dead. Or he said they were dead originally, so didn't line up the timelines.
Oh. And the other recurring joke in these two parts is, well, more the first part than the second, there is, in the interactions with Arale and Senbei, is Arale thinking because she's an android, she should have all the abilities that Astro Boy's got. and the idea that he thinks it's perfect, but her eyes don't quite work, so she has to wear glasses.
Which is, I don't think she does. I think she says, you look funny, and he says, oh, well, you must be a problem with your eyesight. And she reads the test correct, I presume. And then he thinks, oh, no, she can't think I'm ugly, so she must need glasses. So I think he puts the glasses on to cover up the fact that she thinks he's ugly.
Maybe.
But I don't know.
The ridiculous,
but I don't know if she was reading those.
That she goes to, he goes to get her clothes as well.
Yeah. He shaves his tash off. He dresses as a woman, just because he doesn't want to get seen wearing underwear.
Yes.
Which is that a big stigma? I don't know. I've never had to buy, but I don't think I'd be that bothered. Maybe it was different times.
Yeah. Maybe. But
then again, he would be buying children's underwear as well, which is perhaps a little off. But yeah, it's so good, and it's a shame that it's the kind of thing I would love to watch. But I can't allocate the time to it. Though I feel I could find out which ones are the best and just watch those episodes. Because I think you can dive in anyway. I imagine.
Sure. Yeah. So. You can buy the comic.
I'm sure that would be good, but there's something. I like the voices of the characters. And maybe worth a look, though.
Are you saying there's 243 episodes is too many for you?
Ooh, just a bit. Just a bit. Oh, God. Oh, there's so many good jokes. Because I remember I found my notes from 2015. Like, the grenade, she wakes him up by putting a grenade in his mouth.
Yeah, that...
Oh, it's so good.
That was the bit which was the moment... That reminded me of when they brought her back for Dragon Ball Super and... She explained that she's the most powerful character in because she obeys the rules of gag manga rather than action manga.
Good logic.
Because that's kind of the only thing which defies logic almost is the fact that she puts a grenade. It's like, where did she get the grenade? Why did it kill him? But beyond that, the rest of the episode, it kind of all exists within its own internal logic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She throws a baseball around the entire Earth and it comes back with stickers from other countries, which is good.
Yeah, like, also, as you mentioned, the Frankenstein kid, the fact that he can also throw ridiculously far. Not that ridiculously far, but yeah, it's like, okay, yeah. It's cut everyone some slack. and hanging out with the bad kids.
Yeah, because they're kind of scared of her.
Yes, yeah.
One of the kids like punches a can, says, "This will happen to you." And then she punches over a tree or breaks a tree in half by punching it. Oh, man. And I'll tell you what's even better, and obviously cheating once again, but episode 2 is even better than episode 1.
That is true, yes.
It's so good. I remember, I forgot there was 2 separate episodes, and I just saw the preview at the end of this one. I was like, oh, God. Episode 2 is great.
Yeah, it is built around a ridiculous joke, which has a great payoff. They managed to sort of lean so far into where they think you get where you think they're going, and then pull back and reveal top-notch stuff. Yes,
you might know the gooder. it's definitely the right one, but yeah, it does a good job. It's very clever.
Yeah, I think there is plenty of this. Obviously, you can get the films officially, and the first 4 films officially. And I think people are still fan-subbing the series.
Hmm. So I don't know if I would like the films as much, because usually I'm not a big fan of...
Well, we'll find out sometime this year.
Oh, but okay. Well, maybe one... I usually like one big story, but I quite like the two-parters of this. So a film, I don't know, if it's a one big plot, I might not like it as much.
First 5. Yeah, let's go take a look at the first 5 they put out.
Good.
We will not be watching one of those first 5. We will be watching whatever the... Slump one was, which came out with Bio Broly, or Bio Broly rather.
Oh, of course, yeah, absolutely.
I don't know whether that's the same cast, this voice cast, or the 90s voice cast. Probably, I think when did the second Dr. Slump series start? That was 97, so it's probably the first voice cast still.
Good. Not that the second one's bad, but I'm slightly more familiar after the 35 minutes of screen time these 2 episodes have had.
Well, they went back to the original voice.
Oh, really?
For Super, yes.
Ah.
Pretty Mami good. Koyama, who also showed up on a episode of Pop Team Epic.
Mm.
She was a Popoko in one of those episodes. Which is a great segue, because the 2 leads of the next show also showed up in an episode of Pop Team Epic.
Ooh.
And it is Touch, 1985. We're Twins, episode 1. March 24th, 1985 was when it first aired. It's based on the manga by Mitsuru Adachi. This is about a pair of twins, Tatsuya and Kazuya, who are... Is it Tat-chan and Kat-chan?
Yeah.
They get referred to. And their neighbour, Minami Asakura. And they were all raised together because the 3 of them were too rowdy as small children, so their parents built a house just for the children to play in between the 2 houses. And now it's their study. What do they call it? Study building?
Study room? Study room? The turn of boring when they grew old.
But the thing is, I'll try and get it right. So it's
Tatsuya, like Tachan is the
slob.
Idiot.
Yeah,
the slob. Yeah, we'll say slob.
Because he's deliberately slobbing is what he's doing. Is basically he's allowing. Are they like the end of? I think they're like the end of middle school in this episode. They're about to go to high school. I think that's where they're. Where,
that would make sense. I think. Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's basically, he stood aside for his brother in everything, is how it feels. In academic achievements, sports achievements, and also their relationship with Minami. Whereas Minami seems to be attracted to both of them in some way. Even she doesn't realise it until one line in this first episode. Mm-hmm. And it's all very nice and sweet at this point. And I also came away with feeling I'm not sure I like Mitsuru Adachi's stories.
You don't like this?
I think it's really well made. But I did not want to watch any more after the episode today.
Oh my god, I was the opposite. Honestly, I was watching this and I was thinking, I want to watch more. And I was thinking, please tell me it's short. And I know it's not, like 109 or something,
yeah,
or 106.
Something like that. Yeah.
And then I looked at the synopsis and I was like, oh shit, I remember now. Because I don't want to say in case anybody cares, but
it's how old is it?
It's old enough. It's older than, yeah. It's 32 years old.
Yeah.
Or potentially 33.
Yeah. 33 years old at this point, yeah.
I don't want to say it, though.
We've said it on the podcast before.
We have. Yes. So, Kazuya dies in an accident. Is it a car crash or something?
He's struck by a truck.
That's it. And then Tatsuya takes over. And that's the heartbreaking.
And that is a good long way into the series as well.
I mean, good. Like, rein you in, get you in love with the. Because I'm so surprised. I thought you were going to come away and say, oh, this was great. There's a great little joke in there where Kazuya looks in his locker, opens his locker, and all these love letters come tumbling out from, like, other girls or kids in the class. And Tatsuya opens his and is like a death threat, a revenge notice from someone.
Yeah, I liked all the elements of it, but as a whole, I'm not sure it does anything for me. And I can't, there was one of his strips used to run in one of the Viz early, like having a go at doing a Japanese, an American version of a Shonen Jump type collection thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Which one would it be? It's I can't remember. But I didn't care much for that one either. I can't remember what it was called now. So, there you go. I don't know. Don't know what I mean. It's not the thing I liked the least out of these six things.
Oh no.
In fact, it may be the third one, the thing I like the fourth most, actually, probably.
It's a hard one to rank because the stuff that's good in this list is perfect to me. Like, honestly, I really like it. And then the stuff that's bad is the worst thing I've watched in a long time. But I was so on board with this show. I was so on board. And I was like, I like everything about it. I can get behind this weird love triangle of him liking her. And I was totally on board. And then I read the synopsis and I was like, oh, shit. Because it kind of puts us off even caring anymore because
I think maybe it's it might be something to do with the pacing of it. It might be something to do with the romantic lead who is constantly screwing himself up is not a thing. Because Mason Ikkoku, the anime version, does a similar thing where it's like, oh, the pair of the romantic leads in that. It's like you're banging your head against a brick wall watching the anime, at least.
Mm-hmm.
I like the comic. The comic moves at a much faster pace and doesn't try and wring so much emotion out of it. And this first episode doesn't really do that here. But yeah, I think maybe the language pace was the problem I had.
Interesting.
Anyway, next up.
What's next?
Legend of the Galactic Heroes from 1998. Oh. The first episode, In the Eternal Night, which aired, came out on OVA in December 1988. It's based on the novels by Yoshiki Tanaka. So, I've watched this multiple times.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This first episode.
Because
I watched it once, and I was like, I can't remember what happened, so I watched it again. And I had watched it before in the past. So, there is a galactic empire, there is what they called the Free Planet Alliance or something like that.
Couldn't tell you. I did watch it, But you do what you got to do here. You do.
Okay, so... and we meet our two main characters, Reinhard von Lohengram, who's on the side of the Empire, and Yang Wenli, who's on the side of the Alliance. Reinhard is in charge of his fleet of ships who are going to take part in this battle against the Alliance, whereas Yang is trying to get his superior officer to understand exactly what's going on, and his superior officer refuses to listen. And he's like, oh, well, at least my mate isn't—he's as clever as me. I'm sure he can get his guy to listen. And he fails, and he ends up being impaled on a giant bit of metal for his troubles.
Oh, I didn't realise that was him.
Yeah,
I found it quite hard to remember who was who, to be honest.
As he's dying, he looks at a picture of his fiancée.
Oh, yes. See, I thought that was his sister.
Or maybe his sister.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I mean, it's definitely
a blonde girl, yes, who tells one of their friends to look after him.
Maybe. It could be his sister. I mean, I was just guessing at this point. Because it's a lot of talking. And...
there's so much talking. Too many characters being introduced.
Yeah, did the High Dive one not have subtitles showing who everybody was as they came on screen?
Well, I didn't use the High Dive link. I got it elsewhere in the end.
You dirty boy.
But even...
because I don't think they did on the High Dive version. Because I'm pretty sure...
well, they definitely didn't on my version.
Okay, because I seem to remember the VHS fan subs I had uh-huh. subtitles saying who each person was when they came on screen. And the new one does on Crunchyroll. When okay. a new character is introduced, they explain.
God, it must be non-stop.
Yeah, I mean, that's why... Now you know what it feels like when I try and watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I really do. But their names aren't as... and I think part of this is down to me having to read subtitles as well. I think if I understood the language, I could see who was talking, what they were wearing in terms of uniform. Because I think the characters, they're probably really good. There's some... like, there's these two... what if there's like the two guys with like dark blue hair or dark hair, and they're not like generals or anything. I think they're just regular, like whether it's pilots or engineers or something. And I felt quite interested by them, but there's just too much talking to keep track of, too much world building, political world building.
Oh yeah, this I
to insane levels.
My memory of this was I watched the first 7 episodes many moons ago.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
in
the 90s, and my impression was I mean, this is well made, but it's not for me. Now, watching this first episode again today, I was like, oh, not only not for me, I'm not sure it's well made. At least this first episode. Because you're right, there's too much exposition. That bit where those two guys get given their time off, and then they just, rather than have a natural conversation, they just talk about the themes of the show and the science fiction of the show. You don't really get a grip of them as characters.
No.
They're just there to say, oh, well, yeah, there's...
they've got 10,000 in their feet.
Yeah, it's great that we've got this young admiral or general, whoever he's supposed to be, is for us guys on the front line, it's war, everyday war now. We better get some rest. When we get told to get rest, we're going to take rest. Oh, and let's use these machines. These machines let us have hypno-sleep. 1 hour's hypno-sleep is worth 8 hours normal sleep. We don't get to dream. But it's a good job we don't dream, because if we were dreaming, we'd have nightmares, because this is war, remember? War. Or something along those lines.
No, I think that was pretty much word for word, honestly. I think if I stuck with it, like through whatever punishment I would, you know, be in to make us watch this, but... I feel like the characters would grow on us in a way that I would feel sad if one of them died. Because I think there's good characters there, but it's just hidden.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
whatever it is.
The first episode of the new one only has Reinhardt and Siegfried as the focus. Yang doesn't really get a look in. Maybe that works better. I know people don't like the new character designs. I'd probably be inclined to favour these character designs over the new ones.
Let's compare, because I forget. Because I'm quite happy with how this looks.
The new one's by the Kuroko's basketball production team.
Oh.
And so it does kind of look like the new character designs looks like they're going to break it out into a basketball game at any point.
Okay.
And it also does feel a little bit like you're watching somebody play a war game or...
Yeah. Your friends invited you around their house. Watch me play Command and Conquer. Not even Command and Conquer. Command and Conquer is quite exciting.
It is. It's not a real time strategy game. This one. This is a turn based strategy game.
Oh. It's hard going, and I was really struggling with this. And there's probably people out there who absolutely love this show.
Oh, they do. Yes.
Is this a thing that was coming out with a huge price for the box set? Yeah.
Yeah. They love it, but they don't love it that much. They love it $600 much or whatever, which it's going to be.
It's insane. I mean, there is a lot of episodes.
There's a lot of episodes, yes. Previously got like all side stories in there as well.
If every episode's as exciting as this. Whoa. Because I feel this is maybe three episodes of content. I think they jam-packed so much. But I think if it was spread out, it might be too boring. I don't know. I just don't think there's any win-win situation with this for me. And on the surface, I wanted to love it. Because I like Mass Effect. I like Battlestar Galactica. I like that drama, that soap opera, spacey thing. I'm quite on board, but not this. It's too much.
$800. That's what it is.
Oh!
The premium box set. It comes in a useless box.
That's the actual description.
So you get 110 episodes of Legend of Galactic Heroes. You get 52 episodes of the side story series. You get three films. So you probably are getting your money's worth. It is just,
oh, there's a lot of content there.
It's 26 Blu-rays, a 200-page hardcover book, two commemorative metal coins, and two 3D lenticular visual cards.
To stick in the bottom of your drawer.
Yes.
Damn.
I don't know how big a book it is either, whether it's one of those...
tiny little DVD size item. A5 or whatever.
Yeah, it looks like it is, yeah.
See, a big whopping hardback, fair enough, but... yikes. But, is there not a movie series? Is there not a compendium of films? Like, three films that covers the entire...
There are three films. I don't know whether they cover the entire thing.
I read that the Touch series, there's a bunch of films that covers the entire story, so I thought, maybe.
Maybe.
I could watch those.
Maybe that would work for me as well if I'm complaining that the pacing was bad for me.
Yeah.
My conquest is the Sea of Stars. It's a prequel to the main OVA series. That one is. Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
No good.
So there you go. So maybe there isn't.
Though I think if you were into this enough to care, maybe you'd just watch the series. Maybe they don't need the films. People are content to watch whatever it is. In fact, I'm sure I went over Perrins once, ages ago, and he was sat watching this. So I don't know how far through he was, but there was just people talking in those uniforms. So it could be now, it could be the last episode, I have no idea.
I mean, you could also watch it on High Dive, and I think the side stories are on there as well.
Hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, that's $3.99 a month or whatever it was, the offer they were doing. So,
I mean, it would take you a while to watch, but not $800 worth of time.
No. But if you really like it, you better be paying those $800, otherwise no one will hear about it. Because now you'll say, oh, I like Legend of Galactic Heroes, and people can say, well, did you buy the box set? No. Well, you don't like it that much, do you?
I wonder how well it sells, because... it's got to be such a niche.
It's limited to 1,000 copies as well.
Oh, I think they'll be lucky to get 1,000.
They'll easily get 1,000, I reckon.
You think?
Yeah.
I guess it did make our Hall of Fame. It's doing something. Whatever it's doing right for someone.
No, I think there's 1,000 people who love Galactic Heroes enough to spend $800 getting that unique. Well, not unique, because there's Although it is unique because there's a unique chipboard box with a magnetic closing lid, and then it's got a number. Oh. So they each one will have a number on it, so I guess. So.
Nice. So they're getting close to $1 million if they sell all of these. That's crazy. What will they do with that, I wonder?
Well, we won't be in that queue.
No. Might be worth a lot of money one day, though.
It might be. Mm. Or maybe it won't.
Because anybody who wants one's already got it. Yes. So nobody else wants to buy it.
Next up, Slam Dunk, 1993. Episode 1, The Genius Basketball Player is Born. October 16th, 1993 was when it aired, and it's based on the manga by Takehiko Inoue. I'm going to guess this is one you liked, Anthony.
I liked this a lot.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I'd seen it before, but I hadn't watched it on Crunchyroll yet, and the version on Crunchyroll looked a lot better than the dog-eared version I'd seen before.
I don't know what's not to like. It's funny, for a start. It's very funny. The main character's great. And the basketball looks fantastic, even though we only get a little bit of it. I was super on board. I was like, Haikyuu, move over. We've got basketball, a real ball game. Dunks and shit.
So as it says on Crunchyroll, Hanamichi Sakuragi, entering Shohoku High School freshman, holds a record for being rejected by 50 girls during middle school. And so he thinks he's got a fresh start here, but everything he hears reminds him of basketball and being turned down by a girl who liked basketball players. More than what appears to just be a common thug in his case.
Yeah, he's got a few anger issues, but he's not a bad guy.
He's not a bad guy. He's a bad guy. He just goes around headbutting people. Anybody who sounds like they say basketball in his new class.
It's an emotion. He's in he's in a hard time. He's having a hard time. He's just found out he's been turned down, and he thinks kids are taking the piss out of him.
Well, that was from middle school. So he's had the holidays to get over that, and he's come back.
Oh,
to
really?
School.
I thought it was the morning. Oh, no, right. This changes everything.
This is the first day of the new school. Yeah.
Wow.
It's not helped by his mates.
His friends are those kind of friends. I've got friends like that. Especially when we were younger, they used to be terror. Anything they could pick like a little fault at, they'd be there. And they're so realistic.
They are.
They're awful.
And also, they're realistic as like high school kids. Is like one of them has a mustache. It's always like the one guy who puberty has hit like a house.
It's so
and
good.
And decides, now I can grow a moustache. I'll grow a moustache, even though I am only 15 years old. Until he runs into this girl, Haruko Akagi, who's checking him out because he's all athletic and tall, and so she thinks he must be a basketball player, and she loves basketball.
And he nearly headbutts her. because she says the word basketball, and he spins so fast, ready to get her.
And then he goes, yeah, I love basketball. I'm all about basketball, me. then he starts working out in school and ends up running into the third year's area of the school. And he's shown disrespect to the third years by these first years coming in. And there's a couple of guys who were already planning on going to find some first years to scare the life out of. And then they run into this guy who's just run straight in without his shirt on. into their part of the school, and then they start threatening him, and so he just starts beating them up
because he is tough as all hell.
Yes,
he's a tough guy, and they don't expect it, and I love that. I love that moment. It's so good.
Then Haruko runs into him as well. She's there to try and find her big brother, and
but we don't know it's a brother at this point. Because all of his friends are like, Rukawa must be...
No, that's not her brother. No.
Oh, you're not talking about Rukawa? Oh,
no, that's not
sorry,
her brother.
Sorry.
No, that's somebody else.
Go on.
No.
Right, go on then.
Her brother is not in this episode.
Right.
The brothers in the next episode and the rest of the series. Yeah, and then they go, oh, and then he's like, oh, maybe I should introduce myself to your brother, and she gets all coy about, oh, can't do siblings, and then they run away in like the most comedic fashion of like legs flailing like triangles. And then they go to the basketball court, and she explains how she used to be on the basketball team, but she's clumsy, so she's not going to do it in high school. And he basically just gives away that he doesn't know anything about basketball throughout this conversation.
But he can hold a ball well. He can do that, you know, where because your hands are so big, you can grip the ball.
Yes.
He can do that, so.
And he tries to do a slam dunk and headbutts the board. And as his mates say later on, the board took more damage than he did. And then the next class, the head delinquent in the third years comes in with the two guys who Sakuragi beat up. Comes into the class to threaten him.
And it's great. I mean, I would love to... I mean, it's quite frightening if it was really going on like that, but that's my interpretation of Japanese high school or mid-school or whatever. Like, the thugs just running riot around the school. Can imagine somebody's barged into your class like that.
I know. You don't see it in anime much nowadays. So maybe things have changed.
One of them's got a training sword.
Yes.
And he whacks it on the table. And the teacher's just stood there. And he's shouting that you'll kill him. It's top notch.
Basically say, come on, if you're not a coward, you'll come and meet us on the roof after school. Mm-hmm. And so they go up to the roof after school, but there's somebody already sleeping there. And so they kick him to wake him up, and this is Rukawa, the other basketball player who Haruko actually does have a crush on, who is really tall, and also violent, like Sakuragi, because he kicks this guy right back. is that where it leaves it at the end?
I think it does,
yes,
yeah.
Yeah. So we've got the love triangle set up, and we've got plenty of characters introduced. Not the brother yet. That's the next episode, I do believe.
And all the characters feel memorable, unlike Legend of the Galactic Heroes. They've all got personalities.
Yeah, or if not a personality, they've got some sort of physical trait which makes them memorable.
That always helps.
It's like, there's the one with the moustache, there's the fat one, there's the one with the blonde pompadour. And there's the other one who actually seems to be relatively confident. He was also going to fight them, wasn't he?
Yes, yes. I can't remember what his name was, but he's quite cool. There's so much about this that I like, and part of us wants to just buy the manga and just read it. Just hammer through it, but I don't know.
Is this on digital?
I don't know. I'm scared to look in case I just impulse buy.
You've got all those berserks to read.
Yeah, which I'm getting through. I am getting through. I mean, for that was a bargain deal, that. I tell you. Slam dunk.
Yeah, slam dunk. Yeah, I mean... I had seen this before, as I said, but I think I liked it even more now.
Hmm.
It's not coming.
I can imagine. I can imagine. It's
I'm
good
getting slam the next jam, basket dunk, WWE SummerSlam.
That could be a good read. There's a visual joke in this that pops up in the next thing that we're going to watch as well, where someone says his name. I think it's the girl says his name down the corridor, and his ears like pop out.
Boop. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And to make a sound effect. And that same gag happens in the next thing. And I was like, oh.
It may well have taken it from the next thing.
Yes, yes.
There's something else. Yeah, I've remembered the thing, which was also the thing I thought may have taken something from this next thing. Anyway, the final thing we're talking about is Kochikame from 1996. The XX Policeman Ryotsu appears. This aired on the 16th of June 1996, based on the most long-running manga by Osamu Akimoto. Not the most long-running, but I think the most volumes is what it can claim to. 40 years, I think,
Whoa.
Maybe 40, 50, Kochikami. Anyway, it's got really... his real name is incredibly long.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the comic first came out in 1976 and it ended in 2016. It has 200 volumes.
Insanity.
God. Yes. This would be a better show if it had a better director, I think, or a better storyboarder. It's this episode felt very laden. It's like, I was like, well, that I can acknowledge that is a joke. I can acknowledge that would be funny, but I didn't laugh at all throughout the entire episode.
You didn't laugh at all?
No.
Oh, wow.
How about you, Anthony?
I found this pretty funny. I agree with what you're saying, and I didn't really pick up on that aspect at the time, but now that you're saying it, I mean, I was fine with it personally, but perhaps it could do with a bit of a bit more energy chucked in.
Yeah, because it has a chase. It has a chase, a thing I like more than anything in a cartoon. And yeah, the closest to funny was him looking like a monster when he got all the clothes stuck to his head. But it didn't play funny, if you know what I mean.
What about when the bike breaks and he's holding on to it with his
I acknowledge that should be funny, but I think to say it didn't play funny to me was the problem.
When did you watch this? Were you in a bad mood at the time?
No, I watched it this morning, first thing.
Oh, you were still a bit cranky.
No, I'm normally pretty... I'm more kind to watching cartoons first thing in the morning. That's how I've seen so many episodes of Yu-Gi-Oh!
That's a great show. Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I would love to maybe jump in further through the show.
Yeah, I think it might be better later. Some of the actors have changed later as well. I don't know whether that's just because they weren't available. They weren't expecting it to go on so long.
382 episodes.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Used to run alongside One Piece.
Ah, okay.
But yeah, the thing I was saying, you mentioned how the ears are a thing. Because I looked up Ryotsu. We should discuss the main character first. He is this 36-year-old policeman. That's the thing I didn't realise was he's 36. Who, as is described by his boss, behaves like a 3-year-old. And then that made me wonder, oh yeah, Frankie, after the time skip, is also 36 and has the same obsessions as a child would have.
Because even in this first episode, you see that he speaks that he likes video games and figurines.
Yes. Yes, because he agrees to...
Just like any normal 36-year-old now.
Yeah, exactly. He's ahead of the times.
Yeah.
It's a nation of Ryotsus. I'm sure somebody's probably written a scathing article somewhere in Japan along those very lines. So at one point he puts on the line, either he gambles with a kid over who can hit the most of these kappas in like a whack-a-kappa type game as opposed to a whack-a-mole. He says, I'll take... What's the food he's offering?
Begin with a T and it's got K's in it.
It does. Anyway, so because he's got to live on 160 yen for an entire month because everybody took his salary for all the damage he'd caused. And so at one point, he's gambling. If he won, the kid could take his video game collection or his figure collection. And the kid wanted the figures.
Mm.
But he won. And then then a hit and run flew by and ran over his food and also hit the kid. But you could tell.
He was what? He didn't care about the crime or the kid. Just the food.
Just the food. He was mad at the food. And yeah, he's basically super strong. He's super athletic, but incredibly lazy and irresponsible. And the other characters we meet in this episode are Riko, who is a policewoman at the same station, O'Hara, who's his boss, and Yuichi Terai, who's another policeman, with fat one with glasses. I think he may also have a similar problem to... I mean, Touch doesn't... It's not a problem with Touch. Well, Touch obviously isn't the show that Touch becomes straight away. Slam Dunk, the first episode, is also not the show necessarily that becomes, because there's no real basketball taking place and in the first episode. And this has the problem of one of the main characters isn't in the first episode.
And who comes? There's
lots of other characters, but the key one, I believe, is... What is his name? Keiichi Nakagawa. He's a young, handsome patrol cop who serves as Ryo's comic foil, according to Wikipedia. He's the son of a rich family who works as a policeman. You see in the preview that Ryotsu is annoyed that rich people shouldn't get to be policemen. But yeah,
well, I like this. I enjoyed it.
Well, good news for you is that there are a few more episodes in English of this. So if you want to see more, and also I believe there's later episodes. This is one of these series where they seem to be just doing random episodes fan subbed.
I'd like to see where it goes. I can't imagine it really goes anywhere.
No, I don't think it goes anywhere at all. I believe in the comic, the fat guy with glasses changed his name in 2009, and all of a sudden his character became a lot luckier after changing his name, according to Wikipedia. Yeah, so in English at the moment, there's a movie. I'd already got the movie downloaded and hadn't watched it. It's incredibly small, so... ratio, that was why it was almost unwatchable.
Oh, right.
And it looks like the first four episodes have been fan subbed, along with episodes 212, 222, and 313. For whatever reason.
Maybe they're great ones.
They've taken previously existing subtitled episodes and upgraded them. That is why they've done that. That also explains other things I've been getting from that group. Like the latest Shin-chan film. I was disappointed. I mean, like I said, it wasn't horrible. It was still a cartoon. I would say I enjoyed it more than Legend of Galactic Heroes, that's for sure.
Honestly, I think there's... It's certainly the worst of the bunch, Legend of Galactic Heroes.
Terrible cred we've got for our anime taste here.
But I was super on board with this. When he makes the ramen with the moldy buns, and he says it lacks colour, and he grabs the lady's flowers and just yoinks them in.
Yeah,
I thought that was going to upset his stomach, and I thought that was going to leave.
It was upsetting my stomach watching him do it.
It does. There is something about that that just salty pours in, then sugar, and then whatever else, pork chop flavor and something.
I mean, as soon as the setup to begin with is when he gets to the police station, the setup is she tells him not to touch her flowers, and then the next setup is he's only got 160 yen to eat on for. A month. I was like, he's going to eat those flowers at some point. He's going to eat those flowers.
I didn't pick up on that as a lead in, but that's good.
Yeah, I just wish I'd laughed more. I mean, Slam Dunk and Dr. Slump gave me plenty of laughs. Came free and easy. But that's it. We've still probably got more things we can possibly do in future.
Oh, yes. Yes.
But yeah, that was a good. It was nice to clear up. At least Star of the Giants, particularly, was the big blind spot for me, because I was obviously a sham having the T-shirt, and not having seen.
Well,
the
I always
show.
Thought Touch was more sporty. I mean, I think it does go more sporty by the sounds of it.
Yeah,
but I always thought it was a lot more of a sports show than this love triangle.
I think. It's rare, I'd say, nowadays that the first episode doesn't feel like you're getting a full idea of the show. I'd say the first episode of Golden Kamuy was a bit like that. It was very sparse with characters, and then the second episode is like suddenly lays a load of characters on you.
Is that good?
I'm really enjoying it, yeah.
Oh, good, because I like the manga, what I've read, and...
Yeah, CGI bears aside, it's...
I mean, I thought that bear looked fine.
Yeah, I...
Honestly.
As I said on Let's Go, I think the problem is that it looks... It doesn't fit. It's a decently animated bear. It just doesn't necessarily fit with the rest of the animation.
I see.
But yeah, I mean, I've never read the comic, so it could also be that if you read the comic, you'll be going, oh, this is terrible, similar to how I was with Monster.
I mean, maybe it's a good thing, then. Maybe it's a fine show, but stick with whatever you've... Maybe it's first watched it or read it in. But I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, you say that.
I will, because I've
got to catch
up
on Dragon
Ball
Super.
Oh, I know. But I've had such a busy week with Infinity War coming out and stuff, you know.
Oh, I can't even be bothered. I was like, 2 hours, 40 minutes. Who's got that amount of time?
I'll tell you what, it feels way shorter. Because it's not a film. It's just a series of action scenes. Again, but it somehow manages to be
exhausting.
Really good. It's like a TV special of an anime. It's like where all your best characters get together and fight things. Though, credit where credit's due, there's something... It's not a spoiler, but the way they manage to keep the characters in the style that you've already expected them... Like, Guardians of the Galaxy come in, that bunch, and they still feel like they're being within their same universe and it all feels like it works well. I'm not wording it very well.
Yeah, it's still 2 hours, 40 minutes, though.
It is a long film, but it genuinely doesn't feel it. And I think I praise it because they managed to make it work, which I didn't think they were going to.
Did it make you tear up, though?
Surprisingly, it did.
Okay.
Because before I saw it, I was like, there better be some tragedy. Because I'm sick of these comic book films following the flow chart, being safe. And I don't want to say it too much, but I don't think you'll watch it at the cinema. I know you won't, but maybe check it out when it comes out on DVD. Or go to the cinema. You might surprise yourself.
I might. I mean, last Marvel one, I missed Black Panther because of time. It was difficult to time it.
That's a good film.
Oh, I know. I'd prefer to have seen Black Panther to going watching. This one would probably be easy to see because there's so many showings of it.
Oh, you can't see anything but, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it was.
So I wanted to see Isle of Dogs, and it's still essentially out at the cinema, but there's nothing else.
Yeah,
it's
just gonna
no other film exists right now.
For the home video for me as well on that one. Now, Thor Ragnarok was the last one. I saw that in the cinema.
That's good.
Yes, I really enjoyed that.
I watched that before I went to see Avengers, because I'd never saw it until, Thursday night. So I watched that and then went straight to the cinema to see Infinity War.
But no, My Hero Academia this week, episode 42, because you'll be hearing this three or four weeks after we're actually speaking. That made me tear up, but that's the first time My Hero Academia has managed to do that. Even that scene in the comic did not. But they do a really
I need to get on that as well. I need to just push through that barrier. I need to push through that barrier of the first however many chapters or episodes, whatever it is, that it's just something about it. It's a brick wall. Stood in the way. I need to get past it.
Righty-ho, that's it for our anime blind spots this time round. And Anthony, anything to plug?
Twitter and Twitch and YouTube, why the heck not? All Ant Ask You. Oh, there's another anime dog in this stuff, by the way.
Punch.
Yes.
In touch. And he barely looks like a dog. He looks like an obese cat. But
that's what's great.
But he lives
dreams of bones.
He lives in a doghouse. Yes, I need to add. I did take a screenshot. I haven't added him. But yes, Anime Dog Poker will be at AmiCon this year with myself, Anthony, Niall, and a fourth person as yet unknown. Because Marv still hasn't got back to me.
I told him to download Skype.
Okay.
So I think he's going to, so maybe I'll chase him again.
There's another possibility if he's not available. But yes.
Who? Spoilers.
No. Don't get the audience's excitement up.
Oh, is it like an epic guest?
No, it's not, no. If you put your mind.
Oh, actually, I know who it is. Yeah. I know who it is then.
Yeah, so that will be at AmiCon this year, as also will be Badstravaganza. That will be it, though. I'm only doing two things this time round. And that's it for Dynamite in the Brain for another week. If you liked it, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast aggregator of choice. Next week on the show, I don't know still. I haven't organised it yet. People have gone away on holiday who I'd want to do things with, so.
And terrible.
I know. Selfish of them.
I know.
Delaying our bio brolly talk. Righty-ho, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.